This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, and today I have on the line with me Chew Seng Kok, Managing Director of Zico Holdings, which provides a multitude of services across the ASEAN region. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Seng Kok.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
So Zico is able to reach across all 10 countries of the ASEAN region, providing services like advisory and transactional services, management support services, as well as licensing services. Providing these services to companies including GLCs, governments, multinationals. Perhaps you could tell us first, why the focus on just this region? Why not look outside of it as well?
Okay, thank you, Lynn. Good question. The first thing is we started as a Malaysian law firm, where I was a managing partner. But as we were expanding, we were following the clients that we were servicing, people like CIMB, Maybank, RHB, Khazanah. They were expanding within ASEAN. And it was very natural for us as a law firm at that time to start supporting them regionally. And so whenever CIMB, Maybank and all that, and they will tell you we were their go-to firm, we were helping them in the region in the way that they were expanding to ASEAN. So, but beyond that, they started to look for more services other than law, secretarial support, advisory. So we became, if you like, attached to their growth in the ASEAN region. And it was natural for us to go into an area we know. The second reason is the ASEAN region is one where we are comfortable. We have many friends in the network in Bangkok, in Ho Chi Minh, in Jakarta, Singapore that we already know. And it was a market that we knew. There was no point trying to fight with the big boys in Japan, China, India, where there are many, many players. We had a good network of friends in the countries, and it was natural for us to work with them. And that's how we created the Zico Law Network in the first place, which is 10 law firms in the network, all friends of us. And then from there, the Zico Holding was created.
Now, ASEAN has had aspirations of being an economic community, but in reality, that is still far from the case. So what kind of challenges do you face in bridging that gap between the legislation of individual countries? How do you get around this?
Yeah, it's a real challenge because culturally, we may be integrated aspirationally, if you like. But the problem is on the ground, we are very different cultures, very different people. And there's a lot of, I call it, nationalism in terms of movement of people. People are very scared of being invaded, if you like, by foreign workers and all that. So it's a challenge. The whole issue of non-tariff barrier is an example that ASEAN is grappling with. Intra-trade ASEAN is going well. But when you go down to the ground on customs, on people movement, getting work permits for somebody from one country to another, it is still a challenge. And I think psychologically, we are not ever going to get near Europe, like EU, because ASEAN was not built on that. ASEAN was built on the fact that we have a consensus. We need to have an agreement to work. Unfortunately, that takes time and is still a work in progress. But despite that, we have become able to grow ASEAN. I mean, if you look at the ASEAN economies, intra-trade is about 24 to 30, even growing, but it's not the biggest, but you have companies from ASEAN, like Thailand buying into Singapore, ThaiBev, CIMB buying into ASEAN countries. So it's happening despite not having a perfect integrated network or integrated framework. But it's a work in progress, I have to say that. And you just have to work within the confines of the existing challenges.
But how much room is there to actually grow within the next 2-3 years in countries outside of Singapore and Malaysia? Because the majority of your revenue in Zico Holdings does come from like 35-odd percent in 2018 came from Singapore, another 30% came from Malaysia. The remainder is the combination of other countries in the region, as well as the scattered UK, Hong Kong and Thailand. So but these countries, say Laos and Cambodia and Myanmar, they are much smaller economies. What kind of opportunity do they offer for increased revenue contribution to Zico?
Well, actually, the very statistics you mentioned is the reason why we're growing. These countries are at the developmental stage, if you like. At the early stages of investment, people need three services. And we found that across the board. Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia may be more advanced, but wherever you go into a new country like Myanmar, Laos, Cambodia, the three key services they want is a good legal service that creates certainty about how they navigate around the regulations. They want support services, corporate support, secretarial support in terms of, you know, companies being set up. And third thing, which is very important, is they want advisory services either to raise capital, which we have in the capital market, or they want advisory services to restructure the existing services that they, business that they have. So we are not there at the point when they're matured. We are there when companies are going to invest in these companies and they need legal, they need corporate secretarial, they need advisory to restructure, to set up ownership trust. This is where we see the growth. And you're absolutely right, we've grown. We started Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia. Our three big markets in the next 2 years are Indonesia, Thailand, Philippines. Our plan is actually to embrace the developing economies of ASEAN beyond Malaysia, Singapore.
So considering that Malaysia and Singapore each make up an individual third of your revenue contributions currently, what kind of a revenue contribution are you looking at from those countries that you mentioned, Indonesia and Thailand, in future?
Well, we are hoping, you know, diversify to maybe 30%, 40%, because we really, it's not a zero-sum game. Everybody grows together. But the proportion of contribution we are hoping to get out of the non-Singapore, Malaysia, Jakarta, if you like, is to grow around 30%. So we were looking at, you know, in Vietnam, for example. Mm-hmm. We boost up the numbers. We got offices in Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh. In Jakarta, I think it's going to grow. Even Philippines. And of course, not forgetting that Cambodia and Myanmar. These are when they are at the infancy of development and you go in, it's easier to grow faster than when they're mature and you can only grow 5 or 10%. With these markets, if you grow in early, you can make 15%, 20% growth. So we're looking at maybe 30, 35% from those contributions. And hopefully, of course, this is all before COVID-19, but I think businesses will still need to go on. And COVID-19 is just a black swan that nobody predicted.
But speaking of COVID-19, Sengkang, Zico Holdings is headquartered in Singapore, which has just entered into its own circuit breaker, a lockdown by any other name, and only essential services are running. So how has this impacted your businesses? Your Malaysian businesses, I think, were already closed because of the movement control order it placed here.
Absolutely right. No, I think anybody out there who's doing business, including us, we cannot expect the same forecast that we had for 2020-21, for that matter, to be maintained. I think COVID-19 and the fallout just makes it much more difficult to do business, no question about that. But within there, within COVID-19 and all that, there are opportunities that I feel can be a potential green shoot, if you like. So I give an example. I think advisory services in restructuring is going to be critical for many businesses. How do you make sure your businesses can sustain post-MCO? This is where I lead into the tie-up with the Yamada Consulting Group, mm-hmm. which we were planning to do it 6 months ago, and we were in the middle of December, and we were going to launch it in January. So we went ahead. And guess what? The timing is great because under the Yamada collaboration, we are bringing in under a platform jointly, investors and partners from Japan who are looking to grow outside. As you know, Japan is in a recession. Japan is a very mature economy. They have many companies, many businesses that are looking for growth opportunities to sustain their operations or their business back home.
And this is despite the COVID-19 slowdown that's currently being experienced by most of these economies?
Yes, but you got to understand from their point of view, COVID-19 affects the domestic economy of Japan. But the companies, the investors there still need to grow. And as you know, Japan used to grow and invest a lot in China, US, Sony and all that. But now they're looking at ASEAN. Japan grew and invested a lot in ASEAN in 2018, 2019. And when we announced the strategic collaboration with Yamada, we're finding that their Japanese companies are very keen to come and partner with Malaysian or basically ASEAN SMEs who have got good businesses to grow, who have got profitable businesses, well run, but they need access to branding, management expertise, capital, no doubt, and technology. And I think this is one area that Zico, having announced the collaboration, is seeing some potential tremendous opportunities for restructuring for M&A deals, bringing buyer side into seller side. Because one thing I'm sure you realize, Lynn, is the SMEs, the owners, the businesses are looking for people to help them grow or sustain or even survive. I'm very happy to say that we're seeing a good pipeline of inquiries. And I have to say that it has put tremendous potential for Zico Holdings to get revenue out of all these deals that we are working on.
I'm speaking with Chu Seng Kok, Managing Director of Zico Holdings. After this, we're going to be taking a closer look at Zico's partnership with Yamada Consulting, as well as talking about what's the future of Zico amidst the COVID-19 outbreak. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Lynn Mark, and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I have with me Chu Seng Kok, Managing Director of Zico Holdings. Seng Kok, earlier we were talking a little bit about Zico's presence in ASEAN, expansion plans, as well as your recent tie-up with Yamada Consulting Group. But now I also would like to talk a little bit about the revenue that you expect to gain from this collaboration with YCG. How much revenue are you anticipating?
I knew you were going to ask me. I'm a listed company. I've got to be very careful. But, you know, we look at it in terms of potentially trying to close. So the ambitious target would be, say, 10, 15. But we are looking maybe 6 to 8 deals. And if we can close those within the next 1 year, which I'm quite confident given the environment we're in, let's say we close 6 to 10 deals, yeah, maybe we can get maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 million ringgit. If not more. And so we're looking at maybe between 6 to 10 deals within a year. And if we are honest with ourselves, we may a good target to aim for is something like Malaysian Ringgit, 10 million would be a good target for us to aim for. Yeah.
All right. Well, do you think that you'll be able to return to the black then as in FY 2020? Because, I mean, FY 2019 was the first time you'd fallen into the red, and that ended, that financial year ended just in February. So,
well, put it this way, 2019 was it was an accounting, if you like, a one-off thing where we impaired the goodwill. And if you like, we have to adopt IFRS 16 and 19. So a lot of accounting treatment, which created an accounting loss, if you like. For, operationally, we were okay, but we had to recognize the impairment of goodwill from one of the businesses we bought 5 years ago. And we decided to sell it because it was not central now. It was an offshore incorporation business, which was under pressure. So we sold it. So
these were two subsidiaries, right? So yeah. Finova and Zico, yeah. BPO.
Yeah, so they were in the offshore incorporation business, which was under pressure as a result of the Panama case, Panama Canal and all. So we said we can't sustain them. The margins were being pressed. The management did a buyout. We sold it to them. So in that sense, we recognized those losses and we were in the position to restructure. And Zico 2.0, if I like to call it, 2020 and beyond, was going to be M&A advisory, which we had tied up with Yamada. And if you see our announcement, we were also going to wealth management, fund management. Until COVID, we were planning to turn, definitely, we're looking at turning around. But I would have to say that we will have to temper our expectations with what is happening with the continuing worries about the impact of COVID and the lockdown. It'll be difficult for any business out there not to expect a hit. But we are confident with some of the deals that we are working on that at least we have a pipeline of new things to bring into the business. So I would say that if we can get that right and do more, hopefully we'll turn around in 2020.
How much do you think you will still be reliant on things like capital market activities? Because that was also one of the cited reasons that Zico Holdings fell into the red in FY 2019, a slowdown in capital market activities, including IPO offerings, business advisory activities. And that was before the circuit breakers and COVID-19 and the movement control orders started to have a dampening effect on economies around the world. How likely is it that you will see a restarting of the pipeline in the capital market segment, considering the overarching issues that we are facing in the world?
Okay, good point. Let me put things in perspective. We did not complete two IPOs in 2019, which we did in the first quarter of 2020. In other words, it was a carryover. So in 2020, within the first 2 months, we did two IPOs, which were meant to be done in 2019. And 2019 was difficult, as you say correctly, Lynn. It was a situation prior to COVID where you had what I call the great tension between US and America. And, you know, a lot of 2019 was tough for businesses in the services sector, not just Zico, across the M&A activities, capital market raising, IPOs and all that. So the clients decided that we would carry over from 2019 to 2020. So we completed two IPOs in the first quarter of 2020, and we are going to see some of that probably carry over. But COVID has definitely dampened the expectations. But business advisory has two aspects to it. One is the capital market. The other one is the restructuring that I mentioned. And I see that as potentially with the license services that we have, we can do restructuring of companies. We can do reverse takeovers. We can do placements. We can do investors coming to take over a substantial portion of equity of a company that is in distress. So there are opportunities that can help to, if you like, counterbalance the loss of revenue from IPOs and all that. No question about that. Will it overtake the loss of revenue from IPO? That will depend on how much or how long this circuit breaker and all that happens. My expectation is that first quarter is pretty much a write-off. Second quarter might see some activities, but I think if you read what the Fed governor, Mr. Powell, said, he thinks second half of 2020 could be an uptake in business confidence and activities. So maybe if he's right, we could hope to make up for it in the second half. The only thing you've got to look for is the white spaces, the green shoots to grow. And I mentioned a few, restructuring, M&A with Yamada clients. I do see that as potential. And of course, wealth management. There are some huge opportunities in that area as people start to reallocate their priorities in terms of where to put their money.
Yes.
And I think that is an area that we are growing into.
Yes, I did want to ask how much you plan to grow in that area, because Zico Asset Management Private Limited was granted a capital market services license by the MAS in 2018 to carry out fund management. So how much will this be a priority as Zico Holdings moves into the next 3 to 5 years? Are you planning to move further into banking and finance?
Oh, no. We're very focused. We are not going to compete with the big banks. What we're trying to do is we call ourselves the independent financial advisory. What that means is we work with stakeholders like the banks, but at the same time, what creates the value add is whenever we help a company or a client, the owners, the founders, the entrepreneurs, if you like, come to us and say, you know, I've listed my company, I've done the restructuring, I got some spare cash. How do I make sure that I look after my family, my wealth? And that's why the asset management was formed by us. And while we got the license 2018, in 2019 also, we got more expanded license. The other license we get is in the trust side of things, which is also very important because asset management and trust work together. A lot of these people need to set up private trust, family trust to look after their assets. So the asset management and the trust companies which we have creates a platform for owners of SMEs, owners of businesses to come to us for advice to look after their wealth. And so we expect those two together and in Singapore to grow substantially and contribute more of a revenue. And also helped by the fact that in February this year, Singapore introduced a new variable capital framework to help wealth management companies from all over the world come to Singapore and use it as a base. And we are well positioned for that.
Now, we've been speaking about the collaboration with Yamada Consulting. That's the most recent strategic collaboration that Zico Holdings has entered into. But it's not the first. You've also had collaborations with Sage 3 and Anderson, and then as well as Fragoman, which is a U.S. immigration specialist. Very interesting choices of collaborators. What kind of synergy does this offer to Zico Holdings? And perhaps what else can we expect in this space in future?
This is actually our strategy. When we, and by the way, we are one of the most regulated. We have a suite of 16 services within our platform. We have a diversified. So we got from legal to asset management to corporate advisory to asset corporate finance, all kinds. When we are in that space, we want to work with people who have clients that can contribute and value add. So I'll give you an example. Fragoman, a lot of people here may not know it, but they are number one in the world for expat type of services. You know, Apple, Goldman Sachs, Citibank, GE, they all use Fragoman to advise them on their immigration requirements everywhere they move their people around the world. We had worked with them. And what we did with Fragoman, which we announced 2 years ago, is that we tie up with them on the 50-50 in Malaysia with the plan that we grow Fragoman into Southeast Asia. So whenever their global clients move their people around, they are a well-known brand. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We work with them to help their clients to relocate, to help their clients to get their employment passes, to help their clients with their businesses when they come over to ASEAN. So Fragoman is an example. When I enter into a collaboration with Yamada, it is the same thing. We want to access Japanese clients that we know are looking to grow into Southeast Asia. Rather than going to talk to hundreds of them, we go to an organization that we work with called Yamada, who's listed in Tokyo, like us, who's 10 times our size. And they've got a good range of clients that are looking to invest. And when I tie up with Sage 3 and Anderson Consult, Anderson Restructuring, both are Malaysian entities well known for their restructuring work. So what I'm doing is I'm tapping into the sellers, the asset owners that knows the owners of the Sage 3. So I'm creating a platform where the owners of Malaysian businesses who are clients of Anderson Restructuring or Sage 3 can then access through Zico to Yamada clients on the buy side. So everything we do is focused on integrating. We will be looking at collaboration with wealth management companies and fund managers in the future. In the same model, they use our platform and we grow together.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Seng Kok. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very much, Lynn.
I've been speaking with Chiu Seng Kok, Managing Director of Zico Holdings. This has been The Breakfast Grill and I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, encouraging you to stay home during this period of movement control.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.